Oh, Shelby. It's okay. I'll ask later.
Okay. All right, we're going to go ahead and call to order the Coral Junction Public Infrastructure District. Today is February 5th, 2026, 3:01 p.m. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen and Reese. So for the call to order, if everyone could state their name for the recording and record, we'll start with the board. Dave, your chair, you want to start?
David Nilsen, Board Chair.
Derek Rowley, board member.
Shelby Clymer with CLA District Accountant.
And Lauren Warburton with CLA.
All right, we do have Christy Barker back at the anchor location. Christy, any members of the public there?
No.
Okay. All right, board, first up, board meeting minutes from our New Year's Eve meeting. You guys had a chance to review those. Do they look accurate? Okay.
They do.
Can I get a motion, Dave?
I motion to approve the board minute meetings from December 31st, 2025.
I second that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Moving on, Shelby.
Okay. So board, moving forward, we're going to have a quarterly expenditure payment listing. This is something that Michael and I talked about with the district's auditor as well, just making sure that it's really clear within the meeting minutes and everything that the district is clearly seeing what the expenditures were for the quarter and what was paid out. So you'll see this moving forward. So this first one here covers October 1 through December 31. Amounts totaled $148,204.50. Largest amount here is the bond interest payment on the special assessment bonds, and then the rest of the costs are really consulting costs as well as the paying agent fees to UMB. Any questions on this listing?
Are those agent fees, are those transactional fees, or those annual fees? How come they're
Those
billed
are,
separately?
yeah, those are annual fees to UMB for their role as the paying agent and trustee. I believe it's typically set forth within the indenture agreement that's between the district and the bank. So you can expect to see those every year.
So does that represent a fee for each of the two bonds then?
It does, and actually, I'm glad you brought this up. I forgot to highlight this. So there was a duplicate payment that was made. So the total is 7,000, I believe, which is for the two series of debt. And then the overpayment, I believe, in January was transferred over to an administrative cost account to reimburse the district. So we'll see that on those first quarter financial statements. And I think since we prepared these, we've corrected that for year-end financials as well. So I'll talk about that with the financials too. So Derek, the short answer is 7,000, I believe is the annual fee for both of those.
And the $3,000 will be credited in January, you said.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Should we have more information on here? So under description, maybe for a period that those fees cover, or more information to understand that better? Or
We
is this
can.
sufficient for the state?
I think
No,
that.
this is. Go ahead, Shelby.
Yeah,
Sorry.
I was going to say, I think that this is certainly sufficient for like what the auditors would be looking for and for anybody that's looking to make sure that the district is doing what it needs to. However, this report is also for you. So if you would like us to make it more detailed, we're more than happy to do that moving forward. We can add period dates for when these costs were covered, if that would be helpful for you too.
Yeah, and the CLA fee, isn't it? I know on the other PID it's changing. Did it change here to a fixed fee?
I believe, yes, I believe we're moving to a
Starting
fixed fee
2026.
effective 26. And
Okay.
all of these would have been for 2025 costs.
Great. All right. That's
Okay,
great.
if you guys are good, could we get a motion to approve them?
I move we approve the fourth quarter payment listing for 2025 for Coral Junction PID number one.
Thanks, Derek.
I second that.
Thanks, Dave. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All
All right, unanimous. Shelby?
Okay. Next, we'll move on to the unaudited financial statements for year end. So, starting with the balance sheet for the district for all funds, total assets were about 3.1 million. About 28,000 represents funds available in the general fund between the checking account and the administrative costs account. I do have an email into UMB to just kind of inquire about getting those funds released to the checking account. Dave, I think that we talked about that a little bit. Funds in the debt service fund, about 2.9 million restricted for the 2022 A1 and A2 bonds, and then about 244,000 remaining in the capital projects fund. Then we had accounts payable of about 12,000, which brought total fund balances to about 3,127,000.
Great. So this you're showing the taxes coming in. So these are taxes that were earned, if you will, in 2025 that are paid towards the end of the first quarter of 2026. So they show up as a receivable. Is that right?
Yep, so these are the 2025 taxes that are generally kind of paid. Well, the due date's November 30th to have those paid, and then the district receives those after the fact. We're also still working with the auditor for them to get the audit wrapped up. So funds are technically on hold right now, but anticipate that audit to be finalized here soon based on our conversation with them yesterday. So again, receivable for the 2025 property taxes should be, I think, collected this quarter yet.
Okay, and so it'll only show up on the balance sheet once after November or at the end of November. Okay.
Yep, exactly. Okay. Next is the general fund budget to actual. So there was interest of about $800 earned on the funds sitting with UMB in that administrative cost account. Expenditures landed about 41,500. You can see that covered your accounting, annual audit fees, insurance, and legal and management costs. Also had a small bank fee there. And then other financing sources and uses, this $3,000 represents amounts paid for the paying agent fee, and then transfers in of 29,000 primarily represents the funds from the debt service fund to the general fund to pay the administrative costs. Next page is the debt service fund. So revenues here about $1 million, $1,025,000. So that includes interest income, the property tax revenues. So this includes that receivable amount of the 59,000. Also includes some of the 2024 property taxes that were received a little bit later in 2025. Just kind of with the timing and, the governmental fund accounting. Those got captured as a 2024 revenue based on when they were collected by the district. And then assessment fee revenue, 791,000, represents the funds that came in earlier in 2025 for that lot pay down.
I'm sorry, Shelby. So I'm back to the property taxes. I just want to make sure I understand that. So we're showing it as a receivable, but here you're also showing it as an actual, the 2025.
Yep, so the 2025 amount at year end, we book the receivable and we book the property tax revenue. If that revenue is not received generally between 60 and 90 days from year end through the audit process, we may move some of that revenue to a deferred revenue, which sits on the balance sheet. And again, that's kind of a specific within fund accounting, based on what funds are deemed available for the year that they're presented in. So that's why we also see 2024 taxes included in here. A little bit
So
nuanced. I don't know if I'm explaining that.
in a clean year, it would just show the 1 year of revenue. Okay.
You've got it.
Or simple year. Okay.
Expenditure is 734,000. Primarily includes the interest and principal payments on the bonds, and then those paying agent fees that we talked about as well. Transfers out, I mentioned, really due to the general fund from the assessment revenues that were applied to that administrative cost account, and then property taxes as well. And then 12,000 transfers from other funds. There were some capital projects funds that were released into the debt service fund pursuant to the bond indenture. Then last page here is the capital projects fund, just under 10,000 of interest earned on those funds remaining with UMB, and then about 9,200 again transferred over to the debt service fund. If memory serves, I believe that was a closeout of the cost of issuance fund. Any other questions, any further detail you'd like to go into?
Looks
Okay,
great.
could we get a motion to approve the fourth quarter financials as presented?
I move that we approve the fourth quarter financials as presented.
Great, thanks, Dave.
I second that.
Thanks, Derek. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, so here is the interlocal with Utah Local Governments Trust. Dave, I think we've talked about it with you. So, Derek, the trust is a co-op. So, most of the medium to small governmental entities in Utah belong to it. That's how they're able to drive down the cost. I mean, when you look in the commercial insurance world, literally it's about half from what they would charge, what the trust charges. So, with it being a co-op, we've just been contracting with them. And what they asked this year was, hey, can you just get all the districts to join, just like all the other governmental entities? The other thing is they're moving to a crime policy instead of a treasurer's bond. So right now we have a treasurer's bond for you. That will go away. And then this crime policy covers all of the board, just in case something were to happen. There's no extra cost. It stays the same. We just become a member. So that's really all it is.
So this converts our existing insurance to a director and officer liability policy.
Well, the insurance stays the same. What changes would be just the treasurer's bond for you, because right now we just have it on you. We don't
Okay.
have it on the rest of the board. So this would cover Dave, and then when Brian gets on, it'll cover those two as well.
I
And
see.
what the treasurer's bond is in case you were to have, stolen, embezzled any money, then that bond covers whatever that action is and holds the district harmless. And the premium for the treasurer's bond is based on the budget as well, where is the crime policy does the same thing. It's based on the budget.
Got it. Okay.
So if you're good, could we get a motion to approve the interlocal with Utah Local Governments Trust?
Yeah, I'll move that we approve this interlocal agreement
Great.
as
Thanks,
presented.
Derek.
I second that.
Thanks, Dave. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, unanimous. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send both of you the budget resolution for 26, this interlocal to sign. So, look for two share file emails. And then, Dave, I have the budget report for you to sign. So, look for that. I'll get you Tech Ridges as well to sign. I'll just have you sign instead of Isaac now that you know to look for it. So look for those for me.
Okay. Do.
All right. Anything else for Shelby or me or Christy?
I had a question on the notes on the financials. This was probably something we discussed earlier, but I don't recall it, so I just want to clarify. There was a note on there about how there was a gap departure because it omitted management's discussion and analysis. And so I just want to get any insight as to what kind of, is there any risk with regard to having those kind of emissions? What does that actually mean?
Yeah. How technical do you want to get to? So under governmental accounting standards, generally speaking, the management's discussion and analysis is a requirement to those financial statements. In practice, and we see this with other providers similar to us as well, for these interim financial statements, we don't include those. We don't feel like it really brings a whole lot of value. Typically, they're just included with the annual financials of the district. So it has been included now within the district's annual audit. Just pretty, I think it's about a four page kind of talking about the financial activity of the district. So it is included there. But here we're just kind of stating because the district does fall within governmental accounting standards. We just want to kind of note to the readers, you know, if there are certain things that are omitted. And again, they are included with the annual financials, including, I think it also noted that all the disclosures are with the audit. And then the other item, the statement of revenues, expenditures for all governmental funds is also in that audit report.
So we've reviewed them previously on the annual financials, is what you're saying. Okay, which is okay. All right.
So
thank you.
Yeah.
I think Derek, you're the only one that has ever caught me. And I love it because that means you're thorough and you look at everything.
No, not really.
Well, for you to pick it up, that's not something that stands out without going to look for it. So I would say that's a good thing.
Right. Well, thanks. Thank you for that explanation.
So I did text back and forth with Matt. He has not heard anything from the city, so he's going to reach out again about Brian's appointment. So,
right.
All right. If there's nothing else. Oh, Dave, I will send you the development update for the fourth quarterly report that I need to get done. And I'll send you for Tech Ridge as well. So look for those. All right. Motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Thanks, Dave.
I second.
Thanks, Derek. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Good.